period of time. And so he says here, not to despise those. I'm afraid sometimes we look at people who don't go to church, who are claiming to be Christians, and we despise them. We think, why don't they do what they ought to do? But the Bible says that we're not to despise them because it's not God's will that any of these perish. God wants us to retrieve them, to go and look for them. You see, we are God's hands and feet. And whatever God says that His will is, whatever His purpose is, that's what we're to be about because we are His ambassadors. And we are to go looking for the sheep that have gone astray. What is God's will for a Christian? Well, He makes it real clear. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the first 8 verses makes it clear. Listen to what He says here. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Now, all these things that he says we're not to do as Christians, they're all possible for us to do. And there are people who are doing these things, and they are suffering because of it. These are the ones who have gone astray. It may be this morning that you have been involved in some of these sins. You have been caught up in some of them, and there's a stronghold that the devil has in your life, and he pulls you down when he wants to and throws you from one sin to another, taken captive by him at his will. If that's the case with you, let me make very clear that there is a refuge for you. Jesus is not angry with you. He loves you. And he wants you to come back to him. He wants you to be free from the bondage. The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, these strongholds are the strongholds that we're talking about, sins that the devil has tripped you up in. God wants to set you free. God wants you to be back right in the center of his will. God wants you to be set apart for his service. And I'm going to tell you, that's the best way to live. It's the happiest life you can live, to be in the center of God's will, to be free from sin. And Jesus has told us, when the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. You will no longer be the servant of sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you. God wants you to be free. Isn't that wonderful? God wants me to be free. He wants you to be free. He wants all the Christians that have gone astray to be free. And folks, we have what it takes to share with them so that they might be free. Now let's look at God's watch over us. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3 says this. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. No matter what you do, you cannot hide from God. I have been praying, as I have shared with you, for the people that are around about us that are not in church. And the Lord has really begun to show me that these people are afraid of Him. They're afraid to confront him, and we represent him. When they come here, they have to confront God. And so it is impossible for them to feel comfortable while they know what God is doing. But no matter where they are or what they're doing, God sees it, and God knows it. If you've been hiding from God, let me tell you, come out of hiding. God knows where you're at, and he will deliver you. You see, most of the time, the devil wants to entice us into sin and then blame us and tell us that God is going to hurt us because we have sinned. But the truth is, God loves us. And he is seeking us. And he brings us back to himself. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30 tells us that it is God's work that makes the difference. You see, this is not a pep talk. I want you to understand this. This is not a go out and do better talk. This is a come to Jesus talk. Because it's his work that makes the difference. You can't turn over a new leaf. You can't deliver yourself from the snare of the devil. You can't deliver yourself from that stronghold, but God can. And so God calls us. Listen to what he says in Matthew chapter 11, beginning with verse 28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The shepherd wants to solve the problem. You see that? He doesn't say, now look, you're going to have to quit doing this and stop doing that and fix this, because he knows you can't do that. What he says is, you that have been struggling, you're working, you're trying, but it's not working for you, and you keep falling and you keep on getting further and further into sin, come to me. Bring that broken life to me, and I'll give you rest. You say, well, how's God going to do that? God does it by his Holy Spirit. And God will work in your life. And he says the next step is to take his yoke upon you. That means that you trust him enough that all the control of your life is turned over to him. And you're in the yoke. And let him direct your path. And when he does that, you will find that you have the grace to overcome what you never could overcome on your own. Now let's look at the seeker. In verse 12 through 13, it says this. How think ye, if a man had 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Now notice the seeker here. Jesus is looking for that person who has gone astray. Why? So that he may deliver them. He's not coming after you to hurt you. He's coming after you to help you. He's coming after you to bring you back into the fold, into the safety where there is all the grace you need. So many times people will get trapped into sin and they feel like they can't possibly be delivered, and so they just hide from God. But God wants to deliver us. He is there looking for us. That's the reason that you feel that bondage in your hearts, because the Holy Spirit is trying to bring you back to him. And deliverance is very near. What does the Holy Spirit do in the life of a Christian who's gone astray? Well, step number one is that he convicts. Romans chapter 1 verse 18 says this, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. God speaks to the heart. You don't have to read your Bible to be convicted if you're a Christian. The Holy Spirit begins to point out things in your life that ought not to be there. He begins to tell us this is wrong and that is wrong. Now, if we read the Bible, we understand why it's wrong. And he is able then to deliver us through that process. But we are convicted by the Holy Spirit when we go astray. That's God looking for us. He's seeking us. He's calling us back to himself. And then he corrects us. You see, sin is a problem. It is not that sin is good, but God wants to hold you away from that sin. Sin is the problem. Sin is what's destroying your life. Sin is what's making you unhappy. Sin is what's taking away your joy. Sin is what's destroying your family. All of that is the product of sin. And God wants to correct that. He wants to fix that. Listen to 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see what God is trying to do in your life? But the key word there is confess. The word confess means to agree with. God has said that the sin that you're doing is poison. It is bad. It will destroy you. If you just confess it as something you did, but not as something that is bad, then you're not really confessing your sin. You're just saying you did it. But you're not agreeing with God. You see, sin, until it is seen as sin, cannot be forsaken. If we just see sin as something that God is withholding from us, that it really is a good thing, but God doesn't want us to do it, and so therefore it's bad, that won't work. It's when we see sin as the enemy. And the devil has tricked us, we've gotten into it, and once we've opened that door, we don't know how to shut that door, and so we struggle and we struggle and we struggle. When we realize sin's the problem, then we can come to God and say, Lord, you're right. I am sorry I ever opened that door. I'm sorry that I ever experimented. I'm sorry that I ever gave in to the wiles of the devil. I'm sorry for that sin that takes me captive. That's confession. And then look what God does. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And he keeps us clean as long as we stay with him. As long as we don't wander off again. And through that process, he comforts us. And folks, that comfort mainly comes from us. Did you know that? We are God's comfort to others. And God trains us in the art of comfort by the trials we go through. You see, everybody who has strayed away from God has in their mind, because the devil puts it there, they're the only one. Everybody else is serving God, and I'm the only one out here on an island. I'm not serving God. But let me let you in on a little secret. You are in the midst of sinners saved by grace. We understand. And the comfort that we have been given, we can share with you. Been there, done that. God trains us in the art of comfort through the trials that we face. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of mercies, God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. If you have been through a trial and God has delivered you, then you can say to that person who is in the midst of a trial, God will deliver you. And it is the voice of experience. We've been there. We've been delivered. Therefore, we can encourage others to say, God can deliver you. Did you know that the devil has people convinced all around us that there is no deliverance for them? There's no hope. They've gone too far. They don't deserve for God to forgive them. And they're right. But we serve a God who forgives the unforgivable. We serve a God who is able to forgive anything because he paid the penalty on the cross for our sins. He is just, and at the same time, the justifier of them who come to him through Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Isn't that wonderful? Now, he speaks of the safe here. The 99 are still safe in the fold. Let's look at them. Listen to what he says here, verse 12 through 14. How think you? If a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. The 99 that are safe in the fold have not always been safe in the fold. They've wandered too. You see, the reason that God is rejoicing over them is because it's their turn. They've come back. We're still there. Now, when we go astray and God seeks us and brings us back, he'll rejoice over us. See, the key is at the bottom there. He said, it's not the Father's will that any of these should perish. You say, wait a minute. How can a Christian perish? He's not talking about them going to hell. He's talking about them dying. Sin destroys. The wages of sin is death. Not only eternal death in hell for the lost, but for the Christian, there is a sin unto death. And we can destroy our life if we continue in sin for a long enough period of time. That's the reason the Lord sends us after them before they destroy themselves. It's not God's will that any should perish. Those of us who are saved must remember when we were not saved and what we needed to bring us back so that we can then go and bring back those that are not safe right now. God wants us to be deliverers and seekers of the lost sheep. The safe are the ones who are abiding in Christ. Amen. There is no better way to live as a Christian than abiding in Christ. And we're all invited to do that. We're commanded to do that. Listen to what the Lord told his disciples in John 15, 1 through 6. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now I want you to see something here. God's plan of evangelism is for mom and dad to be so in tune with God that they abide in Christ, they serve the Lord, they live for Jesus all during their life as much as God's grace will enable them to do. And then they teach their children how to abide in Christ, how to be saved, how to follow Jesus. And they teach their children then how to teach their children, and on and on and on. That's God's plan of evangelism. Now, God speaks of families as a branch. Every one of us, if we abide in Christ, obviously will bring forth fruit. And as our children become Christians, they will bring forth fruit. And so he says, if we abide in him, we're going to bring forth much fruit. We're going to teach our children what we ought to teach them, and they will teach their children, and so on. Now, if we don't do that, and these are the sheep that have gone astray, they're not in church, they're not serving God, they're living in sin, those people are withering up as far as the fruit's concerned, because they're not abiding in Christ. They're not filled with the Spirit. They're not teaching their children what they ought to teach them. Their children then grow up not knowing Jesus. And so they cannot teach that to their children. And that branch withers up and is burned. God is very concerned about the next generation. Those of us that are safe are abiding in Christ. You say, well, no, wait a minute. I go to church, but I don't abide in Christ. You're not safe. The devil will have a field day with anybody who's not abiding in Christ. There's nobody saved unless you're abiding in Christ. Unless you're filled with the Spirit, you're living in sin. Even though you may not be doing the bad sins, you're just doing the good sins, whatever that is. You ever tried to make you a list of the good sins? I haven't found one yet. You see, if we're not abiding in Christ, we're abiding in the flesh. And in the flesh, there is no good thing. And what's really bad about that for a Christian is that we are sacrificing our children and our children's children. Our branch is being cut off. And when that happens, there's tremendous failure. There's no fruit. And the fruit that's lost is our loved ones. Those that are safe must always be acknowledging God in every area of their life. We know where it comes from. If we're abiding in Christ, the things that are victorious in our life, the things that we have overcome, we must acknowledge God. He's the one that does it. You will never overcome sin without the grace of God. And so we have to always acknowledge Him. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." That's the way we abide in Christ, by the way. You will not abide in Christ while you don't trust Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. You see, I start out abiding in Christ when I say, I trust God. Now, what does it mean to trust God? It's not just saying, I believe there is a God. I believe that there is a Creator. Everybody knows that, whether they admit it or not. Trusting God is not just with your eternity. Trusting God is with your life now. Where we're willing to do the will of God, whatever the will of God is, we just trust Him. You say, well, that might hurt. It might hurt. You're right. But trusting God is always a good thing. That's the way we enter into abiding in Christ. You say, well, what will God do if I trust Him? Well, He's made several promises. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He says that He knows that we have need of all the things that we need, and it's His good pleasure to give us the kingdom. He's made promises so that we can be secure in His love. We don't have to know what He's doing. You don't have to see His hand. Trust His heart. His heart is toward you as a Christian, especially as you abide in Christ. And so we acknowledge Him. We trust Him. And as God begins to bless, and as God begins to overcome sin in our life, and as we begin to see our life turn around, we need to testify before everybody that it's God. You see, if you ever see anything good in a person, it's God. Because we don't have any good in the flesh. But with Jesus Christ, there's good. And we acknowledge Him. And we realize that every good and precious gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Everything we've got comes from God. What if God wants some of it back? Well, He gave it. Let Him have it. Jesus makes a promise. He said, nobody will ever give up anything in this life that I won't bless it. That's a pretty good guarantee. You can trust God. If you start leaning to your own understanding, that's when you get in trouble. I have learned in my years that math don't work with God. God's math is amazing. He can just do whatever He wants to do. It comes out. It works. You say, well, how does that work? He's God. God can do anything. There's nothing too hard for God. So that's the reason we can trust Him. You say, well, I don't see any way this is going to work out. You don't have to see it. Just trust God. And acknowledge Him. That's the way we abide in Christ. We get there by trusting. We stay there by acknowledging. And abiding in Christ is a wonderful way to live. And in that process, we are aiding others. I've said many times, church is real important for Christians. Real important for Christians. You may not need church in your mind, but if you're abiding in Christ, you will see your need more and more. It is encouraging to come to church and to be around people who love the same God that you love, who abide in Christ, who want to encourage you to abide in Christ. We are aiding one another when we come together and encourage one another. And we're aiding our families. Children are precious, folks. And they've been trusted to us. I thank God for our Awana program. But the Awana program cannot replace Mom and Dad. I thank God for everything that we have as a church to offer. Nothing can replace Mom and Dad. We try to do the best we can to help Mom and Dad. But Mom and Dad have to abide in Christ, acknowledge God at every turn, and then aid their children in understanding why. Listen to what Psalm 78, 1 through 8 says. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he establisheth the testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they would make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. You see what God's plan is? It's really a good plan. If I asked you who are parents this morning, do you love your children? There's not a one here that wouldn't say, yes, I do. Yes, I do. I would do anything for my children. I would die for my children. Well, will you live for them? When you live for Jesus, you're living for your children and for your children's children. You guard the door of your house. You don't let criminals in to hurt your family. But do you let sin in? You're the guardian of those children. And you've got to shut the door of sin. You say, what does sin hurt? A little sin is not going to send you to hell. What does sin hurt? Sin hurts your children. Keep that door shut. Protect your children. Love your children enough to abstain from sin. Abide in Christ. And as you do that, God will automatically produce that fruit. What Jesus say? You can't do it. You can't save your children. The fruit is produced by God as you abide in Christ. There's no greater love that a mom and dad can show than that they sacrifice every pleasure that they have, every sin that is offered, they sacrifice that for their children. Maybe you're here this morning and you've not had that blessing of parents who loved you enough to live for Jesus and abide in Christ. And maybe you don't know Jesus is your Savior. Let me tell you, he wants to save you. He says he's not willing that you perish. He died for your sins. When he died on the cross, your sins were on Jesus on the cross. But they will not become yours. The sacrifice will not become yours until you put your trust in Jesus Christ. All the work's been done. There's nothing left for you to do. Doesn't matter what sin you've committed or how far you've gone away from God. God will save you if you call upon his name. You say, well, how would I do that? You say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I've sinned. I can't fix that. I can't even promise that I won't sin tomorrow. But I believe that what you did on the cross paid the penalty for those sins. And I ask you to forgive those sins. Save my soul. Give me the grace to abide in Christ that I might live for Jesus. Will you do that this morning? If you've never received Christ as your Savior, this is your opportunity. See, right now you're amongst friends. We're all pulling for you. If you're lost, we all are praying that you will step out and receive Christ as your Savior. But when you go out into the world, it won't be that way. The world's against Christ. And they will try to pull you in every direction, keep you lost. Will you make that commitment this morning? Give your heart to Jesus. If the Lord has spoken to your heart and you want to do that, when the invitation begins, you just come down here to the front and say, I want to be saved. I'll take it from there. And we'll look into God's Word, and I'll show you how to be saved. If you've strayed away from the Lord, you being here this morning tells me that God has sought you and brought you back. Will you make a fresh commitment to abiding in Christ, to walk with Him, and to live for Him and for your children? Will you do that this morning? Whatever the Lord would have you do, let Him have His way. Let's stand. Go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before your throne. We thank you for loving us. We thank you, Lord, that when we go astray, you look for us because you love us. Lord, I thank you that you have made me an ambassador of your salvation. And you have given me the authority to invite whosoever will, that they may call upon your name and be saved. Thank you, Lord, for that salvation. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage that one that's nearest hell this morning to step out on faith and receive Christ as Savior before it's too late. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.